Well, Pastor John and Kim, they're away this weekend, enjoying a long weekend, which they much deserve. So I have the pleasure of introducing our morning speaker, Pastor Gary Boer, which isn't a stranger to any of us. Maybe some of you don't know him. I've known him for a long time, since I was a teenager. I've watched how God's used him throughout the years as a lay minister in the Church of God and Sunday school teacher, and as God's used him, he's become a pastor in the Church of God and here locally and also down Ephrata, I believe, Philadelphia area, and now he's kind of retired partially, so he's here this morning to bring God's word. So we welcome you, Pastor Gary.
That's true. I've known Paul for a long time. Amen. Yes, since he was a teenager. And that's been a day or two. Right? I think so. Yes, amen. I believe that's correct. I have a handout here, and I'm going to put it here and get it ready if I... If we get that far. I'm not sure if we're going to get that far or not. Amen. But it's good to be back. I appreciate your pastor and Kim. Known him for a long time. Done services with him, weddings with him. And so we've been very involved with Pastor John. And it's good to be back here, see familiar faces, and know that you're here. I'm not planning. I'll tell you what I'm not going to do first. Is that all right? I'm not planning on ministering a Memorial Day message. I looked at that and I thought about it, and I know Paul is aware of that, but I am a veteran and served a total of about 6 years in the military, so you're talking to somebody that has been there and has done that and been involved in the military. But the reason that I'm going in a different direction today is because I think everyone here is a soldier in the battle that we're fighting today. How many of you agree? I think every Christian is that, and I hope that I can bring out what the Lord has laid upon my heart. 2 Timothy 2:3, here's what he says about you. He said, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Amen? That means you're a soldier. Maybe not in the military, but it's a greater calling than the military. Can you say amen? That's what it is. So I want to share with you for the time, and you're probably going to have to raise your hand, or my wife normally gets rear up there or something to get me stopped, because I start going and then I don't stop. That's my problem. And I would like to minister to you about the wheat and the weeds. Wheat and the weeds. And I'll share with you what the Lord, I was reading scripture one day, and I've ministered on that same scripture that I'm going to share with you, but I never saw it. How many of you ever done that? Have you ever just read the Word of God and all of a sudden you're reading and you see it? Even though you've read it many times over and over again, and all of a sudden you see it. Well, that's exactly what happened to me here. In the Midnight Call publication, how many of you know about the Midnight Call? Anybody here involved with that? It's a tremendous publication. It's a great ministry. I've been probably involved for, I don't know, probably 25 years at least with that ministry. It's an end time ministry is what it is. Gene and I normally go to the prophecy conferences and that type of thing. That's where they come from. So the question was asked in one of the publications, this: how does the Christian faith remain identifiable in a world that doesn't consider itself Christian? And another question: how can it be recognized and strong in a time that is increasingly turning away from Christian subject matter and values? So you can see where the Lord is taking us in this. Chuck Colson wrote a book. How many of you know of Chuck Colson? You ever heard of him? Yes, I see some heads going this way on that. The book was Kingdoms in Conflict. Kingdoms in Conflict. He said it requires both. Two things: discernment and courage. Discernment as to whether to obey or disobey. And that's a big one. And then he said, and courage to take a stand. Jesus addressed the kingdoms in conflict in Matthew 13. So if you have your Bibles, if you want to turn there, I'll be taking you there very shortly and share with you what the Lord laid in my heart. And in the day that we live, how many of you agree it's a different day? Yes, some heads going like this. It's a different day. I have never lived in all my years as a Christian in such a time as what we are living right now. And Isaiah 5:20 said, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who puts darkness for light and light for darkness, and who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Is that relevant today? Yes, it's very relevant. I see heads going everywhere. Yes, it is relevant. In the world in which we live, there is a great conflict in kingdoms today. Around the world, right here in America, right here in Bedford County. Amen? If you doubt that, all you have to do is talk to me about the jail and the years that I spent going into that jail, and I can tell you about Bedford County, what's happened, and what is really honestly going on here, what we're dealing with. The conflict that we're experiencing is the rebellion of the weeds against the wheat and the God of the wheat. In the Garden of Eden, Eve listened to the voice of the king of the weeds, Satan himself, and she disbelieved the word of God. Amen? She didn't believe it. She listened. She listened to the wrong voice. We read in 1 Samuel 15:23, for rebellion, and that's what America is filled with today. How many of you agree? It's filled with rebellion. What we're dealing with is a spiritual battle. It's not party battle or anything like that. It's spiritual. It is what it is. Here's what he said: for rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. Now, I want to show you this one handout that I have, that if you're interested in it, I ran off a couple copies. With this scripture, if we think that it was yesteryear or going to be in the future, it's now. Amen? So this handout I have to give you after the service, if you want, on the heels of this scripture in 1 Samuel 15:23, if you're writing that down, rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. In this publication, if you probably cannot see that, but what it says, in the United States of America, witchcraft has become mainstream. Did you hear what I said? Well, that should, as a Christian, that should be an alert, an alarm. Amen? For all of us. Because of what the Lord says in Scripture, rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. And then I just was reading this when I was preparing this message, and it's a whole page on witchcraft becomes mainstream in America. I say, Jesus, what the world is going on here? Amen? What is happening? So I want to go back and take you to Matthew 13. There's one thing that Jesus did. Jesus, he did everything, we know that. But one thing his word brings out, that he was really aware of the culture in his day. Amen? Who was doing what, and what were they doing, and why were they doing what they were doing? In Matthew 13, 24, if you turn there in your Bibles, if you have your Bibles, I'm going to share this out of my heart, just exactly what the Lord shared with me in my office. I was reading, and of course you know how the Lord speaks to you, and that's what he did. So read with me, please, if you would. Matthew 13, 24, he said, another parable Jesus put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, and the thought that come to me was the church has slept in America. We've been asleep, and a lot of this stuff has taken place. It boggles my mind how it could have happened, but it did. And Jesus is pointing some things out here to us. Jesus said in verse 25, while men slept, his enemy came and sowed weeds or tares among the wheat and went his way. Now, we could read over that quickly, and I guess I did. I must be guilty of that because I never really analyzed what Jesus was saying here in this. About this tares. Tares are weeds. They're weeds. And when you dig deeper into that, it is a grain that looks like wheat. That really got my attention. It's a grain. Weeds or tares is a grain that looks just like wheat. Now keep that in the back of your mind, and you'll see where the Lord was taking me and what I'm sharing with you here. When the tares or the weeds are full grown, they look like wheat while they're growing. But when they're full grown, the seed turns black and poisonous. Well, this really got my attention when I started checking to see exactly what he was saying here. So we've got tares or weeds and wheat growing together. Now just stay with me, and this will make a lot of sense to you. Verse 26 in your Bible. And when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, now, you have to ponder on that one. Then the tares appeared. Then the tares appeared. There was a crop. There was a crop. And then the tares appeared. Is that relevant for today? Oh, I think it's very relevant for today. It's relevant in America. It's what you're dealing with and I'm dealing with. Verse 27, he said, so the servants of the owner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds or tares? He said to them, an enemy has done this. The servant said to him, "Do you want us then to go and gather them up?" Now, this is what about blew me out of my chair. In verse 29, Jesus said, "No." No. Well, that really got my attention, Paul. I sit there and I thought, Lord, what the world? Why wouldn't you have, you know, we go out to, what do you do in your garden? Pull the weeds, correct? Well, Jesus said, no, don't pull. We're talking spiritual talk now, is what he's saying here. Here's what he said. Read with me. He said, no. Lest while you gather up the weeds, you also uproot the wheat with them. I thought, God, I'm not so sure the churches that Gene and I pastored, I'm not so sure whether the majority of Christians are ready for this. The wheat and the weeds are growing together? Now, you've got to ponder that for a minute. That is a powerful statement. Tares and weeds that look like wheat, they act like wheat until they're fully grown, and then all of a sudden that seed turns black and poisonous. Powerful. Powerful. Jesus said in verse 30, he said, let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Well, I thought, God, I have no desire in my heart, and I'm sure you don't either, to see weeds or tares as planted by the enemy burning. I don't desire anybody to go to hell. How about you? That's what got my attention with this. Jesus said, let them grow up together. The people you work with, the people at the grocery store, people at the service station, people wherever you go. You've got wheat and weeds. And Jesus said, let them grow up together. What's that mean? It means that you and I had better have spiritual discernment. Amen? We better have spiritual discernment. You better have spiritual discernment. You better be able to know whether somebody that you're around is wheat or weeds. You better know. Can you say amen? So you can't go to the pastor. You can't go to Pastor John and say, you know, is this person wheat or weeds? Because you're working with them. That's powerful. That Jesus said that. And then he explains, and this is where I want to go and take you here. Jesus explains the disciples were like us. And they said to him, well, let's read it. Let's read it and go down to verse 36. And Jesus gets very personal here. I mean, he doesn't cut much of anything, but here's what he says. Then Jesus left the crowd and went into the house. His followers came to him and said, explain to us the meaning of the story about the weeds in the field. Well, we can act like, and I guess maybe that's what I did all those years that I've read this and preached on this and around it, but I've never preached it like this because I never saw it. I never saw exactly what he was saying here. And then so Jesus answered. Now listen carefully. We're going to go slow. Because I could be done in 10 minutes. But I'm not going to do that. I want you to get what he's saying. Because he really got my attention that day in the office. Here's what he said. There's 37. Jesus answered, he said, the man who planted the good seed in the field is the Son of Man. Jesus Christ himself planted the good seed. Jesus said, so you can understand. The disciples didn't understand. I didn't understand. I don't know that we all understand. And then in verse 38, he said, the field is the world. Now you got to enlarge yourself and understand what he's doing. Now we see that happening particularly today, don't we? We see the word of God going out into the world like it's incredible to me what it is. So he said, the field is the world. And listen carefully to what he says. And the good seed are all of God's children who belong to the kingdom. Good seed. Jesus said, the world is the field. He said, I planted the good seed. I planted the wheat in the world. He said, I did that. He explained to his disciples. And we can grasp and understand what he said. He said, the good seed are all of God's children who belong to the kingdom of God. That's you. If you're here and you're born again and your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, he planted you. Amen? Is that what he said? It's exactly what he said. He said, he planted you. He planted you and you belong to the kingdom of God. That's why we're talking about Memorial Day. We're talking about you being a soldier. When he planted you and he moved in to your being, literally, not an impartation, but Jesus Christ himself moved into you by his Spirit. He said, those people, Jesus said, I planted them. They belong to the kingdom. He said, they belong to my kingdom. He said, they're mine. And they're in the world. Now we're going to be getting into the battle. Now we're going to get into what Jesus and why I didn't preach today a memorial service. I could have done that easily, having been in the military all those years. But I think this is important. So we can see exactly what Jesus is saying here. The thing that jumped out at me, church, with this scripture, that Jesus transformed the seed that we just read about to people. It was no longer seed. He transferred it from seed to people. He doesn't call you a seed. He calls you people. And when he saved your soul, he moved into you. And you belong to him. You belong to the kingdom of God. But the majority of people that you're living around do not belong to the kingdom of God. Amen? Now when I share a few other things, I have to watch my time. Jesus said, read with me. He said, the weeds are those people who belong to the evil one. Now you're living and you're growing up and you're operating your life in this world with people that Satan has planted in the world, like God has planted you in this church and made you his kingdom, his Christian, his people. Verse 39, he says, and the enemy who planted the bad seed is the devil. Did you wonder why people act like they act? Did you ever ask why did that person, how did they, it's insane for them to do what they did. Yeah, it is. But when you know who planted them, Amen. So who planted them? Did Jesus plant them? No, he didn't plant them. He said Satan planted them. Now that's an eye-opener. Because when we're looking around at people and what they're doing, and most Christians, Gene and I, around, they're talking about all the crazy stuff, the insanity that's happening in our society. But when you understand this is a relevant message, it's relevant for today. Because it helps us understand exactly what in this world is really going on. Amen? What is happening? What's taking place? It's because Jesus said it. In 39, he said, the harvest time is the end of the age, and the workers who gather are God's angels. Verse 40, just as the weeds, the people that's been planted by Satan. Once you get that, you're going to get it, and you'll never be the same again. Because it's to me, it's just that powerful. Just as the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. Now, that breaks my heart. How many of you agree with me? To me, there's a lot of nice sinners. Is that a word maybe I should do? I see some heads going like that. There's some nice sinners. I have a desire to win them to Jesus, but I have no desire to see them burning in hell. Amen? And I see heads going all over the church. We don't desire that, but it's going to happen unless we are the witnesses and the power of God operates in us and through us and ministers to these weeds and gets them saved. Because that's what Jesus is saying here. So who in the world would have power to stop him? Not me. How many of you believe that what Jesus said is going to happen? Yes, it's going to take place. You can believe it. Every word he spoke, it's going to come to pass. It may not happen tomorrow. It may not happen next week. But I'll tell you one thing. It's going to happen. I'm totally convinced it's going to happen. Verse 42, read with me. The angels will throw them into a blazing furnace where the people will cry and grind their teeth with pain. 43, then the good people will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. And then let those with ears use them and listen. Listen to me? No. Listen to him. Amen. He said, if you have ears to hear, he said, you better hear, use them, and listen. That's why I was ministering this today, because of what he said. Not what I'm saying or anybody else is saying, that's what it is. Psalms 92 and 7, he said, though the wicked sprout like weeds and evildoers flourish, they will be destroyed forever. That's something when you're living with a nice sinner, a good sinner, and our mind, I'm talking about. They may not be ready for heaven. So that's up to us to be able to witness to them and lead them to Jesus Christ. Amen? Gina and I just come back from Myrtle Beach. We need to get away because what Paul said, I haven't learned how to spell retired yet. So when we went down to Myrtle Beach, we invaded Myrtle Beach with the gospel. We normally take around 1,000 gospel tracts, and we go into every store and put the gospel in every box that we possibly can put it in throughout every store. I don't care whether it's Lowe's or Walmart or what it is or who it is. It doesn't really matter. And when we come back, I don't have a gospel tract. They're all in Myrtle Beach. How many is with me? I'm walking what I'm talking. We can talk it, but we've got to walk it. We've got to walk what we're talking. Can you say amen? So I can't go to Myrtle Beach and enjoy the beach down there, amen, and the fine sunshine and everything else is so beautiful, and not take Jesus. Because why? Because sinners buy stuff at Walmart. How many of you agree? They buy groceries. How many of you think sinners buy things at Lowe's? How many of you think that sinners use restrooms? Oh, yeah, they do. And you know what? You put gospel tracts into restrooms, and we do all over the place. And I'm telling you, you walk back in, and they're gone. One by one by one. How many of you understand what I'm saying? You've got to walk what we're talking, and that's what Jesus is saying here. Now, let me share something with you, and I'm going to try to close out because of time. A couple of things. I was sitting with a pastor talking about culture, talking about weeds, the power of weeds, the influence of weeds. You say, well, Brother Boyd, they don't bother me. Well, if you and I want to talk after the service, I've served on the state council in Pennsylvania, and I've seen what weeds has done in a lot of churches. Amen? So we could talk a long time about that, of what the Lord is saying here about the power. I was sitting with a pastor. Listen closely now. A full gospel, Pentecostal pastor, good man, known him for years, but we just happened to be together. He said, Brother Gary, I want to share something with you. I said, okay. He said, I've got children, which you know. Yes, I knew that. He said, can you believe that my children are so convinced by the power of culture, they believe that it's okay, no problem at all, with a man to marry a man and a woman to marry a woman? We're talking about a full gospel pastor, broken. You say, well, Brother Bohr, weeds don't bother me. Don't tell me that. I'm just telling you one reason. I could tell you more reasons. But here's a pastor that preaches most every Sunday, and he lives it. But the weeds of the world have influence. Culture has influenced his own children in his own home to the point that they would believe what culture's saying rather than what God says. And the pastor, the father, is the pastor. Now, this don't look at this as negative. I'm looking at it very positive. Jesus didn't tell us this to put us down. Can you say amen? He told us this to alert us and alarm us, and for you to know the power of the culture and the society you're living in, and the influence they can have on your own children, and the influence they can have on you. Am I coming across? This is what I felt in my office that day when Jesus opened this. Now I want to tell you about the love of God. I want to close on that. When Gina and I pastored in the Philadelphia area, I received a telephone call from one of the men that attended the church that we pastored. And he said, Brother Board, he said, I'm at the hospital. And he said, I'm with a man visiting a man that's been in a coma for days. No movement, no talking, nothing. He's not moving anything. And Charlie said, he's lost. He said, Brother Boy, I know the man's lost. He's a weed. And knowing Charlie, I said, I'll be there. On the way to the hospital, I prayed. And I said, Jesus, I don't know what to do. What are you going to do when somebody's been in a coma for days? Can you say amen? You with me? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Well, I didn't know what to do. So I said, Jesus, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I just prayed the whole way from the time I left the house until I ended up getting to the hospital. Had another man with me. Went in that hospital room, and there's one thing the Lord brought to my mind. That any person, no matter how long they be in a coma, how sick they are, how far gone they are, they can hear everything you say. Everything. The last thing, when God made us, the last thing to go with you is your hearing. You may not be able to move your hands, your arms, you can't move anything, but I tell you, it's documented by doctors, the hearing is the last thing to go. So I walked in the room, and Jesus dropped that into my mind and my heart. So when I went in the room, Gene, the guy in the coma, was over here in the bed. So I went in and greeted the people that was in the room visiting him. And so I went over to Gene, and I knelt down beside him. And I said, Gene, you need Jesus Christ. I said, I know you've been in a coma. I know you can't move. I know you can't talk. I was by his ear sharing everything I'm telling you with Gene. I said, I know that. But I said, also I know that Jesus Christ can save you in that state. I said, if you're willing in your heart, if you're willing to repent and ask Jesus to forgive you of the sin in your life, in your heart, and you pray it out of your heart, you can't move anything, but if you think it through, if you just think it through and you're sincere, I said, Jesus Christ will save your soul. He'll save you, Gene. And I did all that. And then I asked him, I said, did you pray? No movement. But I was in for one of the greatest shocks of my entire ministry. Went back to Charlie, the other people in the room, and all of a sudden, Gene had been in that coma for days. Awesome. Jesus Christ is awesome. All of a sudden, Gene's arms start moving. They start moving. Like this. Like this. Up off of the bed. Well, everybody in the whole room just turned around and looked at him, said nothing, said not a word. I had nothing to say. Hey, man, what are you going to say? And he got his arms up, and he reached out, and he got a hold of the rails on the side of that bed. The rails were up on the side. He reached out, got his hands, and he moved about like that, and he moved. And he got a hold of those upright pieces and those rails on the side of the bed. He got his hands around them, and he sat straight up. Straight up. And he looked at me and said, I did. That was the answer. I said, did you pray? He said, I did. And went right back to into the coma. You talk about the love of God. Jesus Christ moved into directly into his life. Lifeless body in a coma. Does that mean anything to Jesus? No. He said to Lazarus, come on out of there. He's still the same today. He's still the same today. He'll do things will shake you up, and I'll tell you, you're to take your faith and increase it to hear what he will do, what he's able to do. He's able to do it. Stand with me, please, if you would. If you're here today and you've never given your heart to him, and maybe some of the things I've said doesn't really make any sense to you at all, if it doesn't make any sense, I'm just going to ask you to think about it. About him. Jesus left us in that room with nothing to say. I had nothing to say when I went in there, and I had nothing to say other than to praise for him when we walked out of the room. Because Gene lived a very short time after that. He set up and said, I did, and he lived a matter of days and died. But I'll see him. Oh, yes. He did. He did. Can you say that? Can you say today, we're going to pray? If you cannot say, I did. Pastor Gary, I prayed. And I asked Jesus Christ into my heart. And I know today, I know that I know that I know that I'm saved. If you're not sure that you're saved, don't do it like Gene did at the end, hours away from the end of his life. And if it wouldn't have been for Charlie, he'd have died and went to hell. But one of the seed, a man that God planted, called me and said, but you come. And Jesus Christ was going to show me who Jesus Christ is. That's what I saw. That's what he does. And that's who he is. He's able to do anything, anything, nothing. Nobody is beyond his reach. If you haven't made a decision for him, I'm going to ask you to come today. Not to embarrass you, I won't do that. But we'll pray with you if you do. Pray with me. Father, we thank you today. We thank you, Jesus, because you have planted us. You have planted these people in this church, and you call us wheat. And you said, we're all part of your kingdom. Hallelujah. What a joy it is to be part of your kingdom. Thank you, Jesus, for touching every man, every woman, every young person that's here today. Ministering, Jesus, to them where they are. And what they're doing. You know us better than we know ourselves. Help everyone here, Jesus, today to become a wheat. Lord, if they're a weed, all they have to do is like Gene. They just have to be open and just tell you, Lord, I'm a weed. I'm not a wheat. I'm a weed. And I need you, Jesus Christ, to make me wheat. I want to be wheat, and I want to belong to you. Touch, Father, every individual that's here. Minister to them, Father God, today. Touch them in their lives. And help everyone here, Lord, as you said in your word, Jesus. You said, if you have ears, listen. And become a doer of your word. Thank you, Jesus, for the price you paid as we've been singing today and worshiping you of what you have done for each and every one of us. And Jesus, save the weeds. Jesus, what I've shared out of my heart, you know I've shared it with you many times. You've heard me say it. I have no desire, Jesus, to see nice sinners go to hell and be picked up by those angels you're talking about at the end of the age. That's horrifying, Jesus, to me. Use us. Help us, Lord, to be the witnesses filled with your power, filled with your glory, that it will impact the lives of others. For Jesus, it's in your lovely, lovely name that we come and we pray. And everybody said, amen. God bless you.